really good to be in studio, by the way.
This is the Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous Podcast with iHeartRadio.
Hey, everybody, I'm Ben.
Oh, and I'm Nick. Yeah. Is that how we're doing this?
Yeah, we're doing this like this. Nick Vile is here today. Ashley is out of the country. And so we thought we'd bring back one of our favorite and most special guests, the former bachelor himself. Welcome to the podcast, Nick.
Thanks for having me, Ben.
Are you the most recent bachelor other than Ari?
Yes.
Oh, so we have the most recent bachelor and the one before? Are you the one before?
I am, yeah.
Oh my God.
Hey, this is a big deal, isn't it?
So we have the two most recent bachelors talking about the new one.
You are nothing if not observant, Amy.
Oh, man, it's like we planned that or something. Anyways.
I immediately feel used.
Wait, before you guys start talking about everything, I have some breaking news.
I'd love to hear this.
I would like to read from Us Magazine's end of the year issue some things that were the most Googled in 2017.
Let's hear it.
The most Googled person, Matt Lauer. The most Googled musician, Linkin Park. That's sad. The most Googled wedding, Pippa Middleton and James Matthews. Mm. And the most Googled breakup, Ben Higgins and Lauren Bushnell.
Oh, wow.
Way to go. Congratulations.
I was really excited for this list.
How is that possible?
You and Matt.
What do you mean, how is that possible?
How is that possible that, like, more people Googled you than Chris Pratt and Anna Faris or Anna, whatever her name is, Josh Duhamel and Fergie?
Amy.
Why?
Let's know what you're saying right now. Besides all other variables.
It's obvious.
Yeah. Besides all of variables that now my breakup is the most Googled, you're rubbing in by going, how?
I don't get it. I mean, I actually am, like, shocked.
Amy, stop. This hurts.
I don't want to be mean. Like, I'm proud of you.
No, I don't want... This is going nowhere good.
People truly believed in your relationship.
I believe that. Unfortunately.
What does that feel like?
I don't know
like?
What to say right
I know.
Now.
I want to know what you're feeling now that I've told you you're the most Googled breakup.
Yeah.
How does that make you feel? Sad? Happy? I don't know.
Confused.
It's like a minor win in your failed relationship.
There's nothing about this that's... it's really sad.
It's like the ultimate really participation award.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Hey, you tried really hard.
Tried really hard.
And as a result...
And we cared.
Yeah.
But, hey, listen, you know?
Like, people cared that you lost.
All right. Hey, everybody.
Unlike my relationship, apparently people just went on with their day.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, you know.
Yeah, Nick, do you think you'd feel better if you were the most Googled?
I'm comfortable with letting Ben have this award. Yeah.
I mean, it's in print. I printed it from the magazine.
I can see the picture. Yeah.
Highest grossing film, Beauty and the Beast. Most streamed song, Shape of You. Most YouTube song, Despacito. Most Googled breakup, Ben Higgins.
It's really nice to be back in studio with y'all. I'm so happy.
Happily
to
ever after your question mark? Absolutely not.
You know, there's some things in life that you would rather just never have happen. And I honestly, I never thought I'd have my own podcast. I never thought I'd be The Bachelor. I never thought I'd fall in love on The Bachelor. I never thought we would be breaking up from The Bachelor. Mm. And I never thought people would care enough to actually Google about the breakup. And what are they Googling? Like, if we broke up?
I guess they Googled Ben, Lauren, breakup.
So, Ben, do you think people are devastated by the breakup or basking in your pain?
Yeah.
Oh, as a victim, I feel like people bask in my pain. But I really do believe that people watch this show. And I believe, just like you and Vanessa, people believed in it. They want to believe in it.
Oh, I like to wait just for the breakup.
Well, you're also the one that brought up that I was the most Googled breakup.
Everyone loves a fall from grace, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of like, oh, yeah, finally. We knew it wouldn't last.
Yeah, I think people care, but I don't think people were that devastated when people break up from The Bachelor. I think at this point, it's almost expected.
Do you think there was a Bachelor breakup where people were devastated?
Ben and Lauren... breaking up, people...
Apparently Ben and Lauren.
Yeah, we're pretty upset.
Well, it's got to be that because otherwise, you know, I think people must Google it because they want to know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I guess.
How could this possibly have happened? I need to Google it and find out. Yeah. And again, opposed to like another relationship, it's like, okay.
You know, I've been devastated over a Bachelor breakup.
Whose?
Yeah, I remember back in the day watching Desiree and Brooks.
Desiree
and
yeah, real devastated, Ben.
Don't know her name.
Oh, man.
Wait, they didn't even end up together. He dumped her.
But when that moment happened on the show, when he said, hey, I'm leaving, I remember feeling for her at the time and going, this is sad because she's really into him. But there's always a success story at the end. And the success story is that she is happily married today.
With a kid,
with
right?
A kid.
To the dude from the show.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
What's your happy ending going to be?
We're still looking
right
for
after
it.
This podcast.
Yeah.
Wait, and breaking news. Yeah. Nick, you got to ask Ben about Winter Games. You're going back.
Ben, what were you thinking?
Well, I was looking for my happily ever after.
Ben's on Winter Games, everybody.
Oh, yeah, that was announced
congratulations,
today.
Another.
Yeah. And can you tell us what it is?
Yeah, ooh, I can
welcome,
tell you.
Bachelor Nation.
So Winter Games is really just a fun kind of lighthearted show that will be filling in for the weeks during the Olympics. So The Bachelor will actually take a pause. Winter Games will step in and fill that time slot. And it's just, it really was a really fun experience with obviously the typical Bachelor drama.
Are people looking for love?
People are looking for love. They're competing in wintry sports. People are going on dates. There's tears. There's emotion. There's everything you would expect from a Bachelor show. Ashley, our other co-host that's typically here, and I decided to do it because we wanted to, you know, take that next step and have fun with it and see what it was. I'm glad we did
it. What is that?
You made it sound
step?
Like you're falling in love with each
Ben,
other.
Yeah, Ben, are you potentially in love?
You have
you're
to
making
watch.
It sound like you're falling in love with Ashley.
Am I really?
Yeah.
I didn't mean that at all. Please don't take it that way.
I didn't take it that way.
I did.
But no, I did do it. Now, so you can go out to The Bachelor and look at the release of the cast members. My picture, you should look up and close and
magical.
Personal. I have my fly down in it.
No.
So, I do.
No.
Yeah, my fly's down in my Bachelor
how
Winter
do we
Games
see,
picture.
How do we see this picture?
In true Boy Scout fashion. Ben is always prepared for falling in love.
Yes.
Wait, how do we find this picture?
I would want this no other way. Go out to Twitter, The Bachelor Twitter. Go to Mike Fleiss's Twitter. I think he linked it.
I'm looking.
You can find it. I've now found it, and it's been sent to me a couple times. You know, this is my relationship with the show now, where they care so little about how I look that they're just like, you know what? There's some great pictures we have of Ben. Let's pick the one when his fly's down.
I don't see it.
Well, I mean, I'm assuming your fly was down the entire photo shoot as opposed to you being like halfway through the shoot being like, you know what? I just need to breathe. And then, you know.
Yeah, no, it was down the whole entire time. Nobody really wanted to tell me. I'm really excited. This photo will now represent me for the next, I don't know, month of my life.
Oh, the most
no,
Googled
okay.
picture of 2018.
I can see the names, so I'll read who's on the show, but I see no fly down picture. So it says the men from the United States of America are Ben, that's you, Dean, Eric Bigger, I'm assuming.
Yes, yeah, right.
Jamie? Who's Jamie?
Who's Jamie?
Jamie's from... last season of The Bachelor, he was gone very early. He had his famous statement at the very first episode was if Rachel isn't into a guy with perfect facial features and a perfect wardrobe, she won't be into me. So you can look.
Wow.
Yeah, he's okay. Actually he was darling.
I want to meet him.
Josiah.
Yep.
Luke Pell.
Yep.
We like Luke. Michael.
We do.
We like Luke. We love Luke. Michael, I know that dude, Garofalo or something.
Yeah, great
Michael,
guy.
Michael is a great guy.
Wait, why are there only three girls from representing America?
Ari had a couple of the girls from his season that have not been released yet.
Oh, got it. Okay, so it's Ashley I, mm-hmm. our very own, Claire, Crazy Claire from Sacramento.
Crazy Claire,
I know her.
Aren't you being mean?
She's crazy.
Keep going,
I'm totally into watching her. And Leslie from Sean Lowe's season.
Yeah.
And then apparently a bunch of international people that won't mean anything.
That was the exciting part of the show, and really a reason why I wanted to do it too was we didn't know a lot of the people that were going on. They were from all over the world. There are people from Japan and China and New Zealand and Russia and Germany and I'm forgetting Australia. It was a really great mix of people that caused for a really fun show. I think the viewer is going to watch it. I know being a part of it for me was fun. I think the viewer is going to have fun with it as well. So make sure to tune in. To Bachelor Winter Games. I will be there with my fly up for most of the season. Hey, tonight we got to witness the second episode of Ari's season. And so far, I'm having a hard time diving in emotionally to this season. Nick, do you agree?
Well, I never expected to dive in emotionally to it. I thought this episode, they really made you wait a long time for some good TV. Is it weird how they started with 2 one-on-ones before the group date?
I agree. So let's talk about the first
one-on-one.
It's
kind of slow going at first.
It really was. Oh my God. Nick's right. We did start tonight with 2 one-on-ones. But first, we have to talk about one of our favorite one-on-ones, BioClarity. This new year, start a healthy habit talk about finding the right skincare routine and how taking care of your skin can boost your confidence. Finding the right skincare routine is key because nothing boosts your confidence like skin you can be proud of. BioClarity delivered straight to you and is as easy as twice daily, 3-step system that's natural.
I just ordered you more BioClarity.
It showed up to the house right before I left for this.
Oh, I love it.
Your skin looks so good.
I was going to say, yeah, no pores are showing because my skin is clear. And that is because BioClarity helps you maintain clear skin that makes you feel confident and ready to take on your day. BioClarity is suitable for all skin types. It is dermatologist developed, tested, and recommended. BioClarity is 100% vegan, cruelty, gluten-free, and is paraben-free. So, everybody listening, if you need a new skincare routine and you don't have a lot of time in your day, but you need it to work, here's a 3-step easy process for clear skin. You cleanse, you treat, and you restore. Here's the call to action. Start the new year with a healthy habit and get glowing, clear skin. Just go to BioClarity.com. Our listeners will get their first month for only $9.95 plus free shipping. That's a $20 savings, and it comes with a 100% risk-free money-back guarantee, but you need to enter our code, FAMOUS. That's BioClarity.com, and enter our code, FAMOUS. Okay, Nick, we did start with 2 one-on-ones. Let's start with the first. Let's break it down a little bit. Coming from a bachelor perspective that has recently done the show, what did you think of Becca and Ari's connection?
It's the first one-on-one, so it's kind of hard to tell. I will say the 2 one-on-one dates were in terms of early dates, were both, I think, meaningful dates or something to kind of like take away in terms of they weren't necessarily like throwaway dates. I think some dates are always better than others in Bachelor World, and I think as the lead, there's some sort of prioritizing of like who gets certain dates that happens. And so these particular dates, I think, were dates that I think Ari assumed or knew that both the women would really like and appreciate, you know, for different reasons. Becca had the whole, like, she was wine and dine and very kind of pretty woman-esque type
of
feel.
Rachel Zoe dresses and the Louboutin
shoes. Yeah, she got to keep it all and things like that. And she, you know, so it was a day about really making her feel special. I think that, so that's telling. And they seem to really like each other.
That's what I witnessed.
Yeah.
I remember my first one-on-one date with Kayla, and it really started the relationship with Kayla. And she ended up going to the final three because of that, really, that first date when I got to sit down with her and I realized for the first time in the show, hey, I'm actually going to be really into somebody. Tonight, when we watched Ari's episode, I witnessed Becca and Ari having a connection that just seemed more than what he has with most.
I agree.
It was more natural.
I did not find her annoying, and I did not find them awkward.
Well, we really don't know yet, right? Because we haven't really seen him. That was the first date.
Okay.
So, I mean, but I will say the relationship seemed genuine and he seemed genuinely interested in her. And, you know, Minnesota girl, she's Midwest. She seems very normal. You don't get the sense that there's going to be a lot of drama with her. Mm-hmm. So I think it's probably a relationship that's one to watch.
But your perspective, and I guess my perspective too, is different because you can watch this and you can see past some of the stuff that typically the normal viewer can't. So you're watching this, and you're looking for cues of, is this real or is it not? Is Ari putting on his game face or is he not? And from my perspective, I felt like watching that first one-on-one date, to me it seemed like there was something more. Like she's going to be around a while.
Yeah, I think it's a relationship we should watch. I think, like, I agree with you. Like, little things like the music they chose to play and things like that, you know, during their date. It was I thought it was an interesting moment too, in terms of they aired one of the ladies, I don't know who it was, when Ari picked Becca up for the date of saying they look so cute together.
I was just going to
say
that.
I thought that was a really telling moment of the show. Like, it's letting you know that even some of the other women think they look like a good couple. So I think that's an interesting point to watch. So I think, yeah, I agree. I mean, if I had to guess, she'll be around for a while. Because I thought that was a telling little setup by the show.
I think there was, I was going to say the same thing. I think there was another moment in the episode where somebody said they're going to get married. I think Bibiana might have been the one that when at some point she looked at Becca and Ari and said they're going to get married. I thought that was really sweet. It was a kind gesture on Bibiana's part, but also a little odd that other women are seeing something there so early on. It almost reminded me of Sean and Caitlin. From the first night on, the guys were saying that relationship is different than any of ours, and we can feel it, we can sense it, we can see it. We're going to be around because we don't know for certain, but we have a pretty good idea that something special exists. Until you stepped in and blew all of our minds.
Maybe someone's going to show up week four this season. And also keep in mind she had the first 101. So there's a good chance, like, in the next couple weeks, we won't see much of Becca. Like, yeah, she'll pop in, but, like, you know, she's not going to have a one-on-one date for a while.
No.
So there's that. I mean, she'll obviously be on group dates, and I would expect her to probably get a group date rose at some point. But we won't. So I think it was telling that the show, because it was an early date, they definitely went out of their way to let you know that this relationship was meaningful. Yeah. And then you had the second one-on-one date. What was that young lady's name?
Yeah, the second one-on-one date was with Crystal. Crystal and Ari flew to Scottsdale to visit his hometown to meet his parents, which I thought was a huge step and kind of different for the show to do so early.
Yeah, I mean, they mixed it up, but it's interesting about that date is because you look at the date itself and it would seem incredibly meaningful, you know, hometown, where he lives, meet the family, you know, and so you immediately assume that even if you're her and as a viewer, you're like, this Ari really likes this girl, which is entirely true. It's so early on. He doesn't really know any of these women at all. So he's basing early dates off of night one impressions, only to kind of find out as a viewer that, you know, she doesn't have a close relationship with her family. So, like, you know, that's not a coincidence that she gets to go and meet his family and find out how close he is, only to have to, like, talk about how she's not close with hers.
Yeah.
So to me, that lost a little in terms of what does that mean for those two in their relationship. Like, I was like, okay, that makes sense. And it makes less sense about the relationship and more maybe about a storyline. And then obviously she proceeded to be
a weirdo.
Pretty good TV.
At the cocktail party, she was so weird.
She has the ultimate, what does Howard Stern call it? Vocal fry.
Yeah.
I mean,
that
wow.
That cutesiness.
It's not even cute first. It's like sounds sultry. It's like one of those people's voices where at first you're like, oh, this is really attractive. And then they're like minutes later, just like, oh, stop talking.
not a shot that was attractive. I think that's what I want to get into here. So let's break down.
But it was fun to watch.
Yeah,
Chris. Yeah, I want to know at the cocktail party.
I hope she sticks around for a while.
Ben, at the cocktail party, when she was like, I missed you, would you have liked that?
No. And I think that's, you know, so we have Crystal here who goes in this one-on-one. We all kind of like her after the one-on-one. I think all of us are like, okay, there's something there. She opened up. She shared. She was vulnerable. But I even wrote in my notes, there's something more here. At that moment, I was like, she isn't this easy. She's more complicated, which complicated, and it could be a good thing. But there's more to her.
With Crystal?
Yeah. There was something. And then we get to the cocktail party. And we start to see something. We actually saw it beforehand, if you remember right, when she sat down with the women in the house and they were asking her about the date.
Yes.
And I know her intention was to not make them jealous, to not overstep her bounds by sharing too much. But as a result of not sharing too much, she came off very distant and a little bit bitchy.
Mm.
Am I wrong?
Of course she comes off as total bitchy.
Yeah.
Which is good TV. I mean, I actually, it's funny watching this show. How long has the show been on? This is the 22nd season of The Bachelor. We have how many seasons of The Bachelorette? It's like, I'm almost like impressed that like, how do people, like they still come on and I don't know if it's a producer thing or the people on the show. They're still like unapologetically. And like, again, I appreciate to a certain extent. I mean, I wasn't that assertive with my time. And for all the criticism I got early on in Andy season, I really didn't interrupt people,
yeah,
especially that early on. But like, I was assertive with like going out of my way to make time and do little things. But it just kind of amazes
so
me.
So that brings me to a question that I'm so interested in for the two of you. So Ben, when you were the Bachelor, and all these girls are like, I need my time with Ben. I need my time with Ben. Do you feel obligated that everyone get time? Or do you feel like I'm just going to talk to the girls I really am interested in? Why waste my time with Sally when I'm never going to pick her?
Early on, the first few weeks, I definitely wanted everybody to get time because I didn't know anybody. And I knew that was my opportunity to get to know them. As I got to know some people, then the time wasn't as needed because either A, I knew they were probably going home that night. And so I want to invest into the people that I knew I was going to be having a long-lasting relationship with, or at least another week-long relationship with. So I think that's the transition. Right now, Ari probably feels pulled in 1,000 directions. Here's the one thing I always queued up on. So watching Chris's season and watching Andy's season, people react certain ways to specific situations. You always have your, hey, I need more time girl or guy. Hey, I'm going to pull them first girl or guy. You always have those playing out. Typically, those aren't the people that you're going to end up with. And so I watched for that. So This would have been my thing. I don't know, Nick, do you agree or disagree? Week one or week two, if somebody's coming in and interrupting me three different times in three different conversations, there's a cue or there's a sign that would go off in my head that would go, I need to look farther into this person. There's something off.
So that's Crystal.
Yes, and I mean, to a certain degree. One, I mean, yeah, like Crystal's not going to win. I mean, I think that's pretty clear. I don't know if that means, like, I don't think her interrupting makes like, an immediate sign that she's, like, a crazy bad person. I mean, she might be slightly
confused about their
problem. I don't know if it, but listen, here, the role of the Bachelor.
Why would somebody, not at all, we're not going into if she's a bad, she's probably a great person, but why, the people that do that, why are they doing that? Where do you think that comes from? And that they can find somebody to do that every year. Because that's not
like
set
it's
up.
It's not that. Listen, everyone wants to get time, right?
Okay.
And so, a couple of, and like not to give trade secrets, the role is, I think you would agree with this, the role of any lead, especially early on, is to allow the cast people to be themselves.
Yeah.
So, which is why you often don't see, and leads often get criticized for, you don't see leads shutting people down. If someone's going to interrupt three times, you usually always see the lead let it happen.
Right.
And there's a reason why, because like people like to hate on it, but they also love watching it. So like you just kind of let people, and truthfully, it, you know, in all sincerity, it does allow the lead to kind of get a feel for what's going on. So you don't try to take over too much. And, you know, like producers let women do their thing, but if someone says, I want to see Ari again, and they've already talked to him twice, they'll probably make it easy for them to find Ari.
How long are those little talks?
It depends. It could be 30 seconds. It could be 10 minutes.
Yeah, it just matters kind of where it's going and how beneficial it is. I mean, that's it, Nick. It's the difficult situation. And as Amy was getting to, these talks can often be really short or really long. You don't, as the lead, you don't know how this is going to play out. You don't know what it's going to look like. You want to give everybody their opportunity. I want to ask you, before we keep breaking down this episode, what was in week two, from week one to four, what was your most difficult experience being the Bachelor? Like, what was a situation that you didn't know how to handle it?
I mean, I don't know if there was a situation I didn't know how to handle. I think the most difficult thing about being the Bachelor early on, it's just exhausting. I mean, there's so many women that you really want to try to get to know. Like, you know, Ari had a group date here with 15 women. So that's 15 conversations, and assuming you only talked to one person once. I mean, so he probably had 20 little conversations. It's basically another night one. It's tiring. It's exhausting. You have a sincere effort to try to get to know these women, and it's just exhausting. And so, you know, for me, obviously, it was the Corinne show early on of her wanting to get time. I mean, it wasn't like I didn't know how to handle the situation. It was me letting Corinne be Corinne, and then the fear of, like, you know, how long can I let this go on without really pissing off the other women? So it's a cat and mouse game. It's like a definitely a juggling act.
It is a complete juggling act. I think you used the right word there. It's exhausting. And I have just a solution for you, Nick. When you get exhausted, check out a Sleep Number mattress. Most Americans, hey, that's right. Most Americans get less than the recommended 7 to 8 hours of sleep a night. Ari could use one right now. We know his life is exhaustive. If that's you, science proves getting more sleep will make it easier to hold fast to your goals. The Sleep Number is smart, effortless, and comfortable. The Sleep Number bed lets you choose your ideal comfort and support on each side. It's the perfect bed for couples. And their newest beds are so smart, they actually sense your every move and automatically adjust, so you stay sleeping comfortably throughout the night. I sleep on a Sleep Number. I have, as I mentioned last week, for years. I don't want it any other way. I love my Sleep Number. I love the ability to adjust each side so that one side can be firm, one side can be soft. When I get a little tired of the firmness, I just roll over a couple times to the soft side. They even have an adjustment for snoring. Does your bed do that, Nick?
I don't have a Sleep Number bed.
Well, you're missing out.
Am I allowed to say that?
No, you can definitely say that, and you need one. My Sleep Number is 70. Don't miss the best bed for couples at the lowest price of the season. Come in now and save $400 to $700 on the most popular Sleep Number mattresses. You'll only find Sleep Number at sleepnumber.com or any of the 550 Sleep Number stores nationwide. And be sure to tell them the Almost Famous podcast sent you. All right, moving on. We got to get to, I think, one of the best scenes ever in The Bachelor. One of the best dates. Demolition Derby.
That was pretty cool.
Amazing. I cannot believe they were able to do that.
I was honestly watching and thinking a couple of things. One, it's just like, my dates were fine. There were, especially early on. But like, early on, it's like hard to like, you know, like Ari's first group date, he's Demolition Derby. He gets to drive around. He gets to decorate these cars. First, how do they find these cars that they just destroy? I had to do a wedding photo shoot where, like, I had to change into, like, 20 ridiculous freaking outfits.
That's right.
Dressed up as, like, Adam and Eve and, like, half naked. It was just, like, ugh, exhausting. And then, like, yeah, it was – and Ari's just, like, driving around in cars. So he definitely – that was a cool date. I mean, I had some cool dates, but whatever. But, yeah, that was – that one – then I had the track date where I was just, like, running around. I did get to meet Carl Lewis. That was really cool.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I agree with you. I thought that was –
I feel a little bad for myself watching this episode.
Yeah,
tonight.
I was like,
he pulls up in a motorcycle. I pull up in a Volvo.
I had this like
a Volvo.
I had this
not
like
a Volvo.
Chick car convertible.
That's something different. Yeah, that's something different.
Yeah,
completely.
I had this like little tiny Audi, which wasn't very masculine at all.
Man.
I don't know what that says about me, but yeah, Ari. Yeah, it really went well with his blue eyes and cloud puffy lips.
Yeah. I mean, they're really playing this guy up. And then he gets to have a demolition derby. I got to break down a second. Okay, so far we talked about Becca. She was lovely. There's something more there than what any of the viewer actually knows. I think she's going to be around a while. We talked about Crystal on her one-on-one date. Really great one-on-one date. I feel like she's playing into the role of, hey, I need more time. And she's overconfident in their relationship. And as a result, that's going to cause some problems, I think, for her later. And now we're getting into a demolition.
Not for the viewers, though. That's
not
great.
Not for the viewers. That's why we watch, right? No, we watch to find love. And Ari goes on, gets into a car, something he does love. And Annalise does not love it. She was the masked girl night one. She has a breakdown.
That was amazing.
Because she has a terror of bumper cars. Now, here's the thing. Before we get into this, I want to be very clear. I don't want to judge her for her fear.
Why not?
I am so scared of clowns, like so unbelievably scared of clowns. I know people that are scared of dark spaces that are adults. I know people that are deathly scared of spiders, technology. There are some weird fears out there. So let's set the record straight as we get to talk here. We're not saying she's wrong for her fear.
Well, I asked her about it.
What did she say, Amy?
I met her. So we talked about it last week that I hung out with her.
Can we have her on as a guest?
Yeah, I think once she doesn't marry Ari.
Or does.
I would love to ask some questions. I'm watching.
So here's what she told me. She had gone to do bumper cars with her friends.
Yeah.
And I guess they were mean to her.
What does that mean?
Bullying.
And when she says friends, how old is she?
I think 9, maybe. Let me text her and find out how old she was. But I think it triggered her or something. She was having these like flashbacks of when like kids were mean to her and bumping into her or something.
It was just like watching it. She's like, she gets really emotional. I'm like, oh, what happened? And I'm like feeling really, really bad. And then like, I thought maybe she like got ran over or like there were some serious injuries. And then she just basically described your like very typical bumper car experience where people were bumping into you and ganging up on you, which is what like what happens. Anyone who's ever done bumper cars has had the same experience. And then she's just, the way she tells the story, it was just like, it would be the same as someone's like, you know, I'm terrified of crossing the street because this is one time I crossed the street, in the middle of me crossing the street, it said, don't walk. And I didn't know what to do. And so I froze. And then all these cars came. And it was just like terrifying. So I swear to God, I haven't crossed the street since.
You're right. I mean, so my...
She said she was seven.
It was the most unrelatable, like, devastating story of all time.
Well, and it was hyped up. So I was watching it tonight, and she's, like, crying. Like you said, I think it's going to be like, oh, she's been in a major car wreck. A family member has been in a major car wreck. This is going to be really hard. The poor girl should not do this because it's triggering something. But...
she had an incident at the county fair.
Yeah. Like, when she announced her terror, because of my evilness, I laughed.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, Annalise. I'm sure you're.
Yeah, I'm sure she's fine. Who was the girl who called her out? That was
that was the best
moment of the TV. She was just like, I'm confused.
And that one girl was like, I'm gonna ram right into her.
I mean, the girls did not take this seriously. Like, they were like, yeah, I'm gonna make her life worse because she's now announced her fear. But she was scared. She was crying.
It was
crying.
I think she was just having a meltdown. I wouldn't have done it if I was on the show, which I would never be. But if I was, I would have said, pass. I'm not going to go in that rent-a-wreck and have someone banging into
me.
You're not
going to take the opportunity to overcome your traumatic bumper experience. Because Linda, the good news is she did, and, you know, she's fine now.
No, pass. I'm not going in like that weird car that had no airbags or safety protectors.
Amy, stop. Everybody out there listening, Amy doesn't get in elevators. She hasn't flown on a plane in 18 years. She drives everywhere. She's scared of everything. Yes. So her telling me what she's scared of and wanting me to take it serious is really difficult.
I wouldn't get into those cars. There's tons of things on your show I'd never do.
That was a cool
My point day. Exactly. Yeah, my point exactly. You would do very little.
Amy won't go on the show. The show won't have.
she'd fill a couple good roles.
I mean, she would be the hottie, but...
Thank you. I needed that today, Nick. Thank you.
But I did think that might have been one of the best and most exciting group dates I've ever watched on television. They're all very lucky that they got to have that bumper car experience. Okay, let's move on. The cocktail party. The heart and soul of The Bachelor, The Bachelor.
Can we back up for a second?
Go ahead, Nick.
We can do whatever you'd like.
Who's the young lady from, I believe, Miami? I call her No Chill.
Oh, Bibiana. Yeah. Bibiana, one of our favorites on this podcast. Yeah, one of our favorites.
I call her No Chill. Yeah. That's the
I might have to refer to her as that from now on.
Because that all kind of starts on the group date. And I really quite liked her in terms of, like, every season there's always someone early on who, like, it's like it just started. I mean, we're talking like day two, day three of filming here, and this person's already losing their in terms of like the time they're not getting and just
time out. We can't. I like what she's doing though.
I love
she's
it.
Being not, very honest, very straightforward. We need to appreciate her honesty more.
I'm not saying I don't appreciate it. I'm just saying she still has no chill.
No
like
chill.
She's listen, that world is hard and painful and it messes with you. She clearly has not gotten much time with Ari. It's early on. And that's getting to her. She might be the coolest person in the world. I'm sure she is. Like, she probably has a lot of fun, but she's very outspoken. Obviously, clearly, I would guess, is an attractive woman used to, like, getting attention. And now she's in a world that she's not. And it's, like, messing with her and driving her nuts. And on the first date, she is losing her mind and melting down.
Is it weird that I'm semi-attracted to that?
I've been attracted to that my whole life.
I watch it. I'm like, I love this.
It's great. But like, she's very intense. But anyways, I think she might, like, I think off camera, she'd hit someone.
Yeah.
I think she would.
I think she still might.
I think she's capable of hitting someone. a guy or a girl. I hope it happens. I don't think it will, but she is really over it. And so it kind of sets up into the cocktail party. So I just wanted to segue into that, Ben.
Yeah.
That was kind of the best part of the cocktail party, of her just going off on Crystal. Is it Crystal?
Yeah, crazy Crystal. And then all the making out with Becca, the short-haired Becca. They just seem to be making out.
She's the most impressive one, I think.
Just as a person?
Well, it's interesting because, like, she's the youngest. I love how they don't show her age. It was night one. I mean, like, little things you pick up on. Clearly, she's young. They won't show her age. But to me, she's one of the most self-assured and confident people on there. When she called out Eric, when the whole, like, what makes you excited? And Ari said excitement. And, like, you know, that was a funny little thing. And, like, yeah. You know, we don't know if that was, like, the end of the night. Ari's excited and his brain's fried. So, like, I'm not here to pick on Ari about answering that question. But, first of all, it was just a good question. It wasn't, like, very overly specific, but it was better than, well, I'm just happy to be here and tell me about yourself. It was like, all right, I'm going to, like, ask you a question that, like, might be able to tell me something about yourself by the way you answer it. So I thought it was a very thoughtful question.
Right. And she's not dumb. Her biggest problem is going to be her age.
Yeah, and then the fact that, like, when Ari said the excitement word, she had the confidence, not in any bitchy sort of way, but she called him out. You know, in a lot of situations on that show, she could have been, like, a lot of the women who are just like, yeah, excitement makes me excited too. Or she could have left the conversation and be like, that moron. Oh, sorry. That moron
We don't say that either.
But the fact that she, like, had the confidence on night one to call out the big old bachelor in terms of, it just showed a lot of, it showed that she was very self-assured and confident in herself. She's got a great voice. I mean, yeah, I'm really impressed with her. She's obviously clearly too young, and you're right. Like, I think she'll go for a while based off of that. She's very, you know, sexy and whatever, but, like, eventually I think her age will kill her. But it's funny, I'm watching it and I'm thinking, like, you compare this girl to Corinne. It's just like two entirely different maturity levels.
Yeah.
Because she would make a good bachelorette, but she's
six years.
Yeah, she's 21.
Is she 21?
I'm pretty sure.
That's really
I'm pretty sure.
I mean, that's.
But I mean, it's good for her. She's so. I mean, that shows that she's very. She's very as a young lady. She's very impressive. Is in that world to, like, hold her own and. It's impressive.
She had one of the things that stood out to me most on night one was when she's sitting with Ari and he was on the back of the car and they were talking about what they were into, and she said something along the lines of, so far this is good for me, not giving him too much confidence, but just enough to be that, you know, kind of sweet gesture to make him know, hey, I want to be here a little longer. And I think he was into it. He should be into it. She's really great.
You can tell she has a magnetic personality.
He would want her, but she's like 20 years younger than him.
Yeah. That's
15.
It would just be frowned upon.
15 years.
I say if he's, hey, love is love. Or if you,
listen,
if you
I'm not judging, you know, it's just, it's, it, anyways.
Okay, Nick, I want to ask you, we're going to go to the cocktail party. People, these girls grabbing Ari for more time, even when they have roses. I know you're probably, I'm going to assume you're a fan of this because you're all about, hey, take your time to get as much time as possible.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's a fine line of having Shell. I think the idea that you have a rose and so therefore you're not allowed, it's like, that's a bunch of crap. I mean, I think you probably remember this. When I came on Caitlin's season, I was like, listen,
no, I
guys,
remember that.
Like, I'm going to go out of my way to try to find time with Caitlin. There's a respectful way of doing it, but I'm not going to concede time just because I've gotten a rose. There's a difference between, like, getting a little bit of time and waiting at the end, or maybe this, you know, as opposed to, like, going three times. I mean, that was a little much, but I don't think you should immediately concede some time because you got some time. That's the most insane thing to do, to just be like, well, I've already had some time, and therefore, please go and try to, like.
So you're saying the cast members on the show, so the Bibiana, let's talk about Bibiana then. Bibiana's upset because Crystal has a rose, and she keeps stealing Ari away from other conversations. Do you feel like Bibiana's anger is unwarranted then?
I think it's unwarranted to immediately be mad at the first. Like, she was mad immediately. She was mad that she went to talk to her at all. Like, nothing's stopping Bibiana or anyone else to just grabbing her. So, like, this idea, like, they even said in the show, there was this kind of one moment where they're like, well, she's going to go, and then I'm going to go. Like, they all, like, made a list. Like, if they said it aloud, the producers are going to just be like, all right, we're all going to grab you for an ITM and just mess up your intentions. But, like, that's insane. Like, this is not, like, this idea of we're all going to share the same guy. And so, yes, but at the same time, now that she's, you know, and it's not a coincidence, the girl who, like, got the most mad was the one she interrupted, you know.
No.
But I think, again, there it's a fine line. So, like, you can be assertive and make the most of your time without being, quote unquote, disrespectful. And I think both girls were wrong in that situation where Bibiana was had no chill. That's no chill, right?
Yeah, that's no chill. Yeah.
No chill had no chill. And I think Crystal.
I love that. That's so good.
I think Crystal like should have just, you know, happy with a little bit of time and then left it alone.
Do you think as guys that were on The Bachelorette that guys in general have way more chill than girls? I just picture myself in that situation. And I would just run out of the house screaming like a maniac, get me out of here.
You just gave me the crazy eyes again. So are you saying, okay, Nick and Amy, are you saying you believe guys have more chill?
Way
more
chill.
I don't know. It just depends. I mean, there's been plenty of guy breakdowns.
But like, were any of
Koopa
your...
on Caitlyn's season?
Yeah, I was there for that.
Were any of your guys like, Ben, you just took all the time with...
Yes, it happens every season.
Oh, so
every
weird.
Single season. Yeah. And it blows my mind that people
so
like... Every single season, yeah.
I just cannot imagine guys being like that.
Yeah, I
guys
mean,
guys turned into some of the biggest women in that show.
Well, like, I mean, I go back to when Nick came on. So we, for the first 4 weeks of The Bachelorette during Caitlyn's season, the guys that we didn't get along with kind of all went home pretty early, and so we never had that contention or that those arguments existing. So when Nick came on, it was a huge. It really stirred the pot. We all had this kind of close knit friendship. I think he felt it. We can ask him. He's sitting next to me. He comes on, and anytime he interrupted, he kind of became the guy that was the interrupter. And a couple of the
but
guys.
But I really wasn't, though. That's the thing.
Fair, in your opinion. But from, like, the Josh Albers of the world, who was on Caitlyn's season with us, he was one of those guys that got very upset with you.
You'd interrupted me. I didn't interrupt Josh.
Well, we need to break this down a little bit. It sounds like we haven't figured this one out yet. But it's true. That happens every year. It's going to happen.
Did you ever, on Caitlyn's season, there's a difference between interrupting and then going, right? Because every time they're like, all right, hey, I want to talk to so-and-so, especially early on. They're like, all right, well, she's in that room talking to someone, go in there, right? And I'm assuming at some point you went and grabbed Caitlyn while she was talking to a guy. Now,
100%.
Of course. Now, they just, I've always said that they choose to air some things and they choose to air not other things, right? So, like, that happens. In fact, that almost happens every single conversation is almost always ended by someone else coming in.
Because I'm thinking about it in real life. We're all at a party, right?
Yeah.
And, like, some girls want to talk to Nick. It's not like they're going to ask each other, have you had some time with Nick? Because I haven't.
Well, they do. But it's the people who go,
in
like...
In real life?
It's the people who go, like, two or three times in a night.
But at a real party, at a real life... This is supposed to be real life, right? So at a real life party... You just go and talk to who you want to talk to when you want to talk to them. There's no, like, list and I haven't had my time. It's like, so if this is supposed to be real life, then I guess Crystal can do whatever she wants.
Yeah, but this isn't real life and we're not – like, if you saw a guy and a girl talking and either they were hitting it off or you don't even know if they're in a relationship, you're not going to walk up and be like, hey, like, listen, can I just borrow this dude for a second? Like, that's not going to happen. So let's not compare this to real life because it's not.
No, it's real life for me, Nick. I had to relive
most Googled breakup of 2017. Oh. No,
it's
Higgins.
It's a real. Like I've said this before, it's very real in a very unrealistic environment. It's not a realistic environment, you know. But everything in that world is real. These are real freakouts. These are real, like real feelings. These are real conversations, in an incredibly unrealistic situation.
So, because we have the opportunity to have Nick in studio, I want to take a little time here to honestly, earnestly, in the best of our ability, break down Ari's Bachelor performance so far. Okay? If you want to call it a performance.
Say, Ben. It's...
I don't know what else to call it. So if you have a better word for it, please write in and tell me. But Ari is earnestly trying to find love. We've said that. I believe he cares a lot about the woman involved. He cares a lot about the process. Nick, so far, after watching Ari, what do you think his intrigue and appeal is? Like, what are the women seem very into him. I feel like the country is going to start falling in love with this guy because they really want to see him successful.
Do they? I mean, I don't know.
That's the question I'm asking you. But what? Why would they want to find? Why would they want to see that? Like, what intrigues them about Ari?
I mean, he's a good-looking guy. I mean, I met him once. He's been very nice. I mean, so far this season's been kind of. It's interesting because he hasn't been out in a while, and I feel like it's almost slightly more reminiscent of like past seasons.
Oh, I agree.
Pretty like.
It's old school.
Yeah, I mean, listen, not every like. I say this sarcastically, and I wasn't thrilled with it when it happened, but like not every bachelor can be as lucky or unlucky in terms of good TV of having someone they, you know, met at a wedding on episode one to create immediate drama. Right. Yeah. You know, I wasn't thrilled with it, but certainly it made things, you know, interesting for viewers. And so it's kind of, again, I just found it really interesting that they started with two one-on-ones. It was like, whew, you know, like, you know, you know, you get a little out of drama early on. I mean, Ari doesn't seem like he's going to take a ton of risks.
Are you scared for Ari at all because he won't take those risks?
Not necessarily. I mean, you know, again, Ben and I, you have talked about it. It's hard for me to be critical of Ari or any other bachelor just because it's so hard to be the lead.
Yeah.
And there's so many things we don't know in variables. And it's easy to nitpick, like, you know, the way they answer questions. So much of what's talked about isn't aired, you know. So it's hard for me to be overly critical. You know, he's just kind of going through it. I just don't. My guess is this season is we're going to get most of our entertainment from the women, and yeah. I don't think we're going to get a ton from Ari. I mean, that's somewhat truthful in every season is because they just don't allow that, you know. And so I think that might be just even more heightened on this season because I just got the impression that Ari will just kind of, you know.
Yeah. Oh, no, I think that's safe. Well, I think that's why, in all honesty, I was so excited for your season because you were the first person in a while that I thought had the confidence, knew themselves the most, and cared enough about the process to take those risks, to be a little unsafe.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of did whatever. They just, you know, they, again, don't show a lot. And, you know, I there were conversations I had that I wanted to get aired because it showed me having more of an opinion and things like that. But, like, again, I don't get to choose what they show or don't show. Obviously, you had, like, the drama with Liz early on, and you know, I was willing to take a risk on taking Corinne far. I knew I was going to get criticized for it, but I had my reasons. You know, everyone wanted to meet the nanny, and she was cool. and so, but yeah, it's tough to criticize. I mean, I will say, you know, we talked about this before. Like, I do believe Ari is sincere in his pursuit for love. I think every single lead wants it. Like, and people are like, oh, like, you don't become the lead with the pressure of knowing that everyone who watches the show expects you to fall for it and not want it. Like, it's terrifying. I mean, I was terrified that it wouldn't work out for me. I desperately wanted it to work out. You know, and so I definitely believe he's sincere in that.
I mean, I think you make a good point there. I don't think Chris or the show would have a lead who they didn't believe really wanted to find somebody, because that could blow the whole show up. And so I think every lead we have to expect, hey, they really care. I think Ari cared maybe so much because he feels like this is maybe his last chance. And it's not. We know that. But I think the pressure of all this felt like that to him.
I don't know about that. I mean, again, I think if Ari didn't become the Bachelor, I think he'd be fine. I don't think anyone becomes the Bachelor because they think they'll never find love in the real world. I think he feels.
Speak for yourself, Nick. Once
you get asked to be the lead, there's just an immense amount of pressure on the expectation of what that is. And I think, you know, the show took a risk asking Ari to be the Bachelor, and there's immense amount of pressure on that. And I think, so if nothing else, yeah, like, listen, if it's an opportunity to meet someone, and I think Ari takes it very seriously, and he wants it to work out like every lead does. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he wants it more or less than any lead before him, and I don't know if it's has anything other than to do with that's the world he agreed to be a part of, and that's the expectation of the show. I don't think that in any way makes it insincere.
Yeah.
And I, you know, yeah.
I mean, you're not wrong. I think you're actually spot on. I realized last night watching the episode that Ari was not one that was going to take many risks. And do you want to know why?
Why is that?
Because on his one-on-one date with Crystal, they went back to Scottsdale and they visited his apartment. And as they walked into his apartment, they walked into his closet. And his closet, if you paid close attention, was completely from shoes to helmets to his shirts, color-coded. I mean, I'm not kidding. You need to watch this back. Everything was color-coded, which tells me one of two things. He has a dark side. Or the man knows
American Psycho style?
Yeah. Or the man knows what he wants and he knows how to represent his wardrobe. I actually have my closet color-coded, so I cannot, you know.
Which is a
him.
Lot of cardigans, apparently, Artie. Dresses like Mr. Rogers.
Who, me or him?
Ari.
He does. No, I wondered that, too. His wardrobe is not risque in itself, so I wanted to bring that up. I did notice his closet was color-coded. One situation as The Bachelor that I never knew how to do well. I don't know if anybody knows how to do it well, but it also really affected me and my experience was this the breakups, the saying goodbyes, the moments where you have to give no explanation, but you're asking somebody to leave. Tonight we saw Ari at the rose ceremony say goodbye to somebody. She walks out, no hug, no goodbye, no hey, this has been great. She walks out and wants an explanation, and all Ari can do is try to hug her, which was awkward in itself, and Ari probably not a great decision there, but hey, again, what do you do? How do you recommend any bachelor or bachelorette saying goodbye? And does Ari owe her an explanation?
I thought that was a great TV moment. It was a classic case of you can't fire me, I quit. Because she was like, well, I don't even, like, I'm not even upset about you. I just don't want to leave.
I have friends here.
And I have friends here, which is probably true. Like,
yeah.
But, like, she just felt the need to say that. I give Ari a lot of credit because, like, that is, you think you said it best. It's an incredibly awkward situation. And so you're just so used to people kind of, like, quote unquote, doing what they're supposed to do and just like, I'm going to like give you an insincere hug and say thank you and wish you the best of luck and you're going to leave. But she didn't. And it's just like in that moment, Ari has to decide, what do I do? Which like there's no playbook. And you know, I think we'd all like to think we would do the same thing. But like, I don't know. It could just be like this awkward, like, I don't know. Do I make it worse by going over? So I give Ari a lot of credit by going and making an attempt. And, you know, whether he tried to hug her or whatever, like, that's not on Ari. It's just, like you said, it's a very awkward situation. She, I thought, handled herself terribly, showed an immense amount of immaturity. And, like, I thought it was really telling that she was like, I've never been broke up with before. And, like, clearly, I don't know how old this girl is, but I'm guessing she's incredibly young and very immature and has a lot of growing up to do. And for future cast members, I think it's important to remember that most people don't get a lot of memorable moments or air times. But your most memorable moment is always going to be, unless you get engaged, when you get dumped. And it has a chance to be either a great moment or a bad moment. I've, you know, kind of, you could argue, been on the side of both moments. I mean, but, yeah, she clearly did not show any type of maturity or gracefulness in her breakup. And for future people go on, is when you get dumped, that's your moment to shine and show something.
That's it. I mean, that's
she didn't handle herself very well, which was fun to watch.
You know, the goodbye is always hard in The Bachelor because there isn't a lot of explanation. There's not a lot of lead up to it. Pretty much, for the most part, you're saying goodbye for whatever reasons, and you just hope that there's an understanding that, hey, this show has 25 to 30 people on it. I'm only going to hopefully end up with one. There's going to be a lot of goodbyes. I don't want to say goodbye either. This isn't the fun part for me or the lead. Please make this as easy as possible. And if you want an explanation, maybe reach out later. But that moment, like you said, is your shining moment. You know what? Be cordial. Say your goodbyes. Keep your head held high. You're going to be fine. You're going to be okay.
Well, let's be honest. Like, at this point, Ari doesn't know any of these women. He knows Becca a little bit because he went on a one-on-one date with her. He knows Crystal a little bit. But other than that, he doesn't really know any of them yet. The hardest part about being The Bachelor sometimes is, like, you're always going to be drawn to a handful of women, and just it's just natural. And it's you try to be open to getting to know the rest of the women, but it's harder to do. And women are intuitive and smart, and they pick up on that. And you know, so they're kind of faking it too in terms of their level of interest for the lead until they get broken up with, and they're like, well, I don't even like them. And then they go home and they get on a group chat with all their you know, early exit friends, and like just talk crap about, you know, Ari and all the girls who are still there. Like, it happens every season.
Every season.
There's always an immediate group chat.
I hate those group threads. I mean, for my season, one of the breakups that stood out to me the most was when Lauren Barr, this beautiful young lady from Oklahoma, said goodbye. She just wanted to leave. She wanted to go home. It wasn't for her. It's a power move, but it also affected me because that was week, I think, two. And I was questioning myself now at that point. Is this going to happen to me over and over and over again? Is this going to be a constant this season?
Luckily, that didn't happen to me. But yeah, because you're told that doesn't mean anything. It just means that maybe I'm sure there were plenty of girls who were like, he doesn't even like me, but I hate him. You know, who knows, right? But like, that's the show, is like you're told that you're the guy or the man, and everyone's there is like, I can't believe it's you. I mean, you're so great. And then like, and all of a sudden someone leaves. I mean, like, that would just mess with your psyche. You handled yourself well, Ben.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
It was a power move by that Lauren girl. Like, you know, who was this, like, who sincerely was like,
I'm out.
Not for
this
me.
This dude ain't that tight. Yeah, I'm gone.
Listen, but also, like, you probably weren't giving her any time, and she probably knew it, and she beat you to the punch. That's all.
Yeah.
You know?
I think for the exit where she told Ari, hey, I have a lot of friends here, I'm not that upset about you, in a sense, is a power move as well. And so we got to give her a little credit.
I don't think so. I think it was.
I don't give her credit. That was just like a weird.
You can't fire me. I quit.
So Nick.
Good for you.
To finish this up then. On a scale of 1 to 10, how is Ari as the Bachelor so far?
He's a 10. I don't feel
that
like
that was so
headlines.
Weak. I think you don't feel like making headlines. Why else would we invite you on the podcast, Nick?
Yeah, what's going on with you and Rumor Willis while we're at it?
Rumor's a friend.
Just everybody was talking about it because you posted a photo with her.
Yeah, she's just a good friend. I mean, not just. She's a great friend. She's awesome.
You walked into that.
Was she on your Dancing with the Stars season?
No.
I gave you a 1 to 10. All you have to do is give a positive number, and instead Amy just crushes you with, hey, what's this gossip about?
Oh, I got way more secrets than that.
All right. So, Nick, we want to go into one of our favorite segments, and that is taking reading emails from our listeners. But before we do, I want you to give me right now, who's your top choice of cast members on The Bachelor, and who is someone on The Bachelor right now that gives you hesitancy?
I don't know about hesitancy. I'll start with, but it's fun to watch the women who are creating good TV. I mean, I don't know if they give me hesitancy. You know, I don't think Ari is going to end up with Crystal. Who's the other? Who's the young lady who's a mother?
Chelsea.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's going to be an entertaining show because, like, you have in this week, you have a lot of personalities, a lot of women who like. You know, Chelsea, you watch episode one, you're like, oh, here's your villain. And then all of a sudden, episode two, you got Crystal, and you're like, oh, here's another villain. You know, then you have No Chill freaking out. And then you have some other moments. So I think it's going to be interesting. None of these women, I think, really are probably going to win or capture Ari's heart. But who knows? I don't know if they give me hesitancy. I hope there's more of it. I hope they stick around for a while. In terms of, you know, Becca, both Beccas, I mean, yeah. I think the Becca who had the one-on-one date, she just seems like, you know, someone who, again, has some confidence. She seems mature. They seem to hit it off. You know, again, we have already talked about her sticking around. I think we are on the same page that the other Becca, well, you know, is too young and will be kind of the her fate. But to me, she's the only one who really stands out. I mean, she's the only, you know, and you know, I don't think that means either Ben and I want to, you know, meet Becca in that sense. But she's well, there you go. Maybe you're fairly age appropriate. But she's to me the only one who really stands out in terms of, I think the rest I'm not I can't really remember. I'm sure more. It's early on, so it's hard to have anyone stand out. So again, I think it says more about Becca standing out this early on just because she clearly has something going for her in that sense. And she's probably just been that type of person who's always stood out. Yeah. And, you know, I think as the season progresses, we'll get introduced to more women and more personalities and their stories and things like that.
All right. So I want to give my top girls. Number one, CN. She's an Ivy League grad. She got the group date rose. She's been a little quiet so far. I find her absolutely beautiful and very, very intriguing. I'm going to go in order. So I have a top five here. Next is one that, I don't know, guys. Nick doesn't want to create headlines, but I might have to. I think this Tia girl is something special.
Which one's she?
She's Raven. Guys, you're really crushing my moment here.
Oh, Raven's friend? The one who has the arm tattoo?
Yeah. She's very, very interesting. Funny. Beautiful. I don't know. She might have a future.
Let's not forget the original Becca.
I'm moving on. Yeah. Okay. Brittany. Brittany, the one from last week that I thought maybe went home. There must have been another Brittany that went home. Brittany's great. Marique owns the restaurant. Mm. Stunningly beautiful. Here's one for you. No Chill Bibiana. I mean, that girl, she's got something special. I know she's aggressive. I know she's fierce.
I'm not saying it's bad. She just has no chill.
No, but I watch her and I say, girl, you get it. Like, you just keep causing drama, and I'm going to keep watching.
Ben, you should have been The Bachelor again.
The original Becca, obviously, is one of a kind.
Original? The one-on-one?
One-on-one Becca.
We call her the original?
Yeah, the original, the top dog. And then here's the ones that give me hesitancy. And I mean hesitancy in the sense of I'm a little bit like it's early on. We don't know them fully. We've liked them at times. Maybe I haven't, and I'm a little nervous. Chelsea, the mom, I thought had episode two was one that I go, okay, I can see it now. She's great. She was nervous night one because she didn't want to tell her she had a kid. Now that she said that, we're going to start to see her real personality, and I think she might shine, but she still gives me hesitancy. Mikkel, you know, obviously just we didn't see a lot from her week two.
Which one is she?
She was the one that drove up in the fancy car on night one, flipped her hair around a little bit.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
She was in the news this week apologizing for a picture she posted on Instagram years ago.
Mikkel.
Was it scandalous?
It was inappropriately racist.
Yeah. So
what? What did she?
Yeah.
I'll tell you later.
And then we have Crystal. Crystal was one that I know we talked about a little bit ago. There's just something different there, and I don't know why she won't just be friendly and date Ari and chill a little bit. I actually will call her my no chill number two.
She's just vocal fry.
So that's who I got. Top CN Tia, Brittany, Marique, and Bibi, Anna, and then the original Becca. Hey everybody, before we move into emails, I need to tell you about Latote. Question for you: are you wearing clothing that is old and looks worn out because you don't have time to shop? I mean, we're all very busy. Luckily, we spaced out some time for Nick to get in the studio, and he actually looks really nice. But do you find yourself repeating the same outfits every few weeks because you're too busy to shop? I mean, I know I do. Well, you need Latote. They're the style and fit experts. They have the data to fit you better than any other retailer. They have a great selection of workwear, weekend wear, and everything in between. Latote is your fashion assistant. We style your tote, but you have full control of what goes into your box and can swap out items to fit your schedule. So go to latote.com. That's LETOTE.com.
And it's the perfect time to clean out your closet. I just cleaned out two sections of my closet. I have two to go. It's the new year. Get rid of the stuff you're not wearing and get stuff that you want to wear.
Just to add to that a little bit, I've never understood how people have more than one section to their closet. I don't get that. I have about 10 shirts that I wear, and that's about it.
Girls have a pants section, a jeans section, a dress section, a casual top section, a dressy top section, a blazer section, a jacket section.
Well,
a workout, and I call it loungewear section.
So Amy's not wrong. You need to clean out your closet, and then once you do, restyle yourself, but get the help from Latote. Enter promo code ALMOSTFAMOUS at checkout to get 50% off your first month. Once you sign up, you'll receive your completely customized tote within days. Choose between one or unlimited totes a month. Just wear what you want and return everything in the mail when you're done. It's that easy. Again, that's latote.com letote.com, letote.com. Enter your code, which is our code, Almost Famous, and always have something new to wear with fashion delivered right to your door. Check out Letote. Hey, everybody, let's read some listener emails. I want to start here with one called Suspicious in Seattle. Says, so amped to watch Ari's season, hoping the womanizer rumors would be put to rest. Well, to my surprise, Ari tagged a young woman on a Snapchat story in New York City.
On New Year's Eve.
Between his and her Instagram, there were multiple pictures of them spending time together on New Year's Eve in New York City. One of hers was even captured calling him Daddy? Oh, jeez. Anyways, who is this? A bachelor handler? A friend? A date? I need to know. Is he really a changed man, or is this a sign that his venture didn't end with love? I figured if anyone could get to the bottom of it, it would be producer Amy. Producer Amy, what do you think? What's going on?
I recognize the girl as somebody, like a producer or something.
Yeah, she's a producer on the she's a producer on the show. Yeah, they were in New York City for New Year's Eve. Nothing.
Yeah, because he was there for work promoting The Bachelor.
He was on Good Morning America the next day. She was there with him. Of course, she's going to go and be his friend and hang out during that evening. It was nothing. It's a handler or producer from the show. They were just having a good time. Don't look too much into it. Okay, here's one from Skyler, Ben and Nick. For the past few seasons, The Bachelors always seem to give the first impression rose to the women who don't get along with the other girls, the ones who are aggressive, outspoken, and know what they want. With the exception of Sean and Nick, Juan Pablo gave it to Charlene, Chris to Britt, Ben to Olivia, and now Ari to Chelsea. It makes me wonder, do producers recommend who to give the rose to? And then, Bachelorettes seem to have a very good sense of the men in the beginning, with the exception of Andy and Desiree, who both gave it to their runner-ups. Caitlin gave it to Sean, JoJo to Jordan, and Rachel to Brian. Just an interesting observation. Would like to hear from you guys' thoughts on why this is. Well, first off, it's very clear, Skyler, women are more intuitive than men. That's just true. So, of course, they're going to give it to the right people, and, of course, we're going to give it to the wrong.
I gave mine to Rachel.
That's not a bad call. No. So to answer the question here, I'll answer for Nick and I. No, the producers don't recommend. They can't recommend. Obviously, we don't know these women fully. We know what we've seen. And I think, as we talked about on last week's podcast, women that are a little more outspoken, a little more forward on night one definitely come off as somebody more invested into the experience. And so I think our pull as The Bachelor is going to be, okay, that woman seems to be here for the right reasons. And as a result, I want to make sure to invest in this relationship and to let her know that I care. Bachelorettes just are really smart. I don't know. Yeah, they've made some really good decisions now that I read this email back.
There's also like different reasons why people might give out the first impression rose. You know, a leader could give it to someone who finds intriguing, but they're not even sure if they could easily be more into other people and give someone else the first impression rose or vice, you know, or, you know, and some people could literally just say, this is the person I like the most, you know?
I mean, that's why we're watching the show, is you're watching the whole story play out. So from night one on who he's into first or who she's into first to the very end when we get the final conclusion of the show. That's why we watch this. Perfect decisions won't always exist, but the lead tries, I would assume, very hard. Nick, on with the next email. I think it's from Elizabeth.
From Elizabeth, hey, Ben and Nick, have you all seen what the ladies who got sent home night one from Ari's season have created? See at the Rose Girls or at the _ Rose Girls on Instagram. They also have a YouTube channel. Really? Well, I haven't fully investigated because I was too stunned and have to check in immediately. And we see if y'all knew and hope you could share your thoughts on the next podcast. The fact that the ladies sent home night one can now ride the fame train is unreal to me. This is adding a whole new element to the social experiment that is The Bachelor. How do you think this will affect the show and casting in the future? Thank you for sharing your thoughts and talents in broadcasting, journalism, podcasting, blogging, et cetera, with the world. Best, Elise. I don't think this is anything new. I think it's just more of the same. I think it's typical. Every person who goes on the show, I think more than anything, is open to love but excited about this new experience. It doesn't mean they're only going to be famous. It just means they're going on for this thing. And the people who get sent home early on, especially night one, are like, it's hard. It's certainly their egos that are certainly shot down. You listen, it's silly, yes. And no, they're not going to ride the fame train because they have none, and no one cares about it.
They're not even almost famous.
Like, they're not remotely famous. And certainly comes across as a little thirsty and, you know, lame. But there's some solidarity. I think there's this hope, maybe strength in numbers. It's just like, whatever. I mean, not to be too, like, you know, not to be overly critical. Like, I think there's just a lot of disappointment. And, yeah, they're trying to make the most of it. I don't think it is going to affect casting. This isn't the first time the women who got sent home early, like, tried to make the most of their experience.
Men. I remember a hashtag that was the Rose Boys
it's
or
not,
something.
It's not, exclusive to the women anyway. They'll, like, you're going to find people who go home early going on as many podcasts as they can possibly go on. I don't even care. It's just like, I'll go, you know, because they're just trying to maximize their time, of which they didn't. They probably went into the show with a lot of hopes and dreams that, you know, immediately got crushed. So I'm not, you know, judging. It's not going to go anywhere. It's typical. It happens every single season.
I would just, I mean, my one, if I can give my advice, would be, I agree. It's not uncommon. However, they spent a lot of money on some videos. I watched these videos when I saw this email, and I watched the videos back. There's some high production value in them. So I'm worried that they've all invested a lot of money, and they're hoping to get a return out of it. I would just advise anybody, hey, don't go on the show because you think you're gonna get famous from it. It happens very rarely, if at all. There's a lot of luck involved. There's a lot of being in the right place at the right time. Just do it because it's a cool experience, but don't go into it thinking this is going to change your life. I've said it many times on this podcast. The best advice I was ever given was, do this whole experience to enhance the life you already had, not change your life completely. If you weren't making YouTube videos before, I wouldn't recommend doing it because of the show. Nick, I think we have one more email for you there.
From Tess. Hi, I'm 27 years old and perpetually single. I do my best to stay positive and understand that timing is everything. Everything happens for a reason. Disagree with that. Know yourself first. Each year I get older, the more the fear of being alone presses on me, like not finding someone who is a real thing without settling. What advice do you have for myself and others like me who are feeling discouraged? Thank you for reading and keep doing what you're doing. Tess. Well, Tess, you're only 27. So first and foremost, I know a couple things that I kind of say. I get that you feel old because today is the oldest you've ever been, but you're only 27. So when you're 35, you'll look back and think how young 27 felt. So you're not that old, so you'll be fine. Second of all, yeah, I mean, listen, I also say one thing that people forget when they have relationships don't work out is that if you're really, really, really lucky, and I think Alon stole this from me in his book. He got this from me. But if you're really, really lucky, at most, you'll only have one relationship in your life that doesn't fail. One. That's the most. It's the most possible. Unless, you know, someone dies, it's not necessarily a failure and you meet someone else. But that's it. You can only have one. So the fact that you're 27 and you haven't found that one yet, it's not that big of a deal. And in a good way. So just keep doing what you're doing. It'll eventually happen. Don't stress about it. It's probably the worst thing you can do. And, you know, enjoy being 27. Have some fun. Make some bad choices. And then, you know, when you're 30 years old, you know, he'll come running.
You know, the book that Nick just referenced to is by Alon Gale. It's called You're Not That Great.
It's a great book.
But neither is anyone else. Alon is a producer on The Bachelor, and he is also one of the people that will usually sit there in those one-on-one interviews and dive to the heart of your fears and your insecurities. Go check out his book.
It's a great book.
But I would agree. I just want to add to that is, let's start accepting singleness and saying there's actually a lot of benefit to it.
Yeah.
You get to explore who you are better. You get a lot of time to process and think. Your schedule is pretty much your own without a few, you know, side activities. Singleness can be a very positive experience, and don't waste this time or this season of singleness because you're hoping for a relationship. I just think that's something I'm learning right now too, is be in the present moment, focus on where you're at now, become the person that you need to be for yourself so you can be that person for somebody else later.
And don't compare yourself to others. I mean, I don't know if Tess, you know, has a circle of friends where they're all married and having kids already, And so even though she's only 27 and relatively young, she feels a lot older because everyone else is at different stages in their life. And that can happen. And if that is the case, get more friends.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the journey of life. And it's just an opportunity to learn about yourself. But I think it's just important not to stress yourself out and use it as an opportunity to, and not maybe find new friends, but like it is an opportunity to take advantage of, like Ben said, of being single and have new adventures. Because even though maybe you want to get married and have a kid, you'll be the one person who's like, your friends live vicariously through you because you're doing all this fun, single and exciting things. Yeah. And they're like, not.
Yeah.
Not to, discourage it's, that.
You know, one staying, I know you
grass
said.
Grass is always greener.
Yeah. Grass is always greener is something that I think our generation needs to deal with and see that the shiny new thing isn't always the best thing, but we're always going to want the shiny new thing. Hey, we have one last email. This one is really interesting to me. And I think Nick and I, we got to prepare for a little tough love. I'm going to read it here. It's from Jessica. I've been in a relationship for 3 years with a man who I love. The relationship is, for the most part, great. For the most part, it's a relationship I've dreamt of, except that about a year into our relationship, my friend discovered him on Plenty of Fish, which is a dating app, and Ashley Madison, trying to find other girls. I was devastated. I planned to break up with him. He begged me not to when I confronted him and promised me he would never cheat and that he will never go on another dating site. At that time, we were in a long-distance relationship, and I found out I was moving to the same city as him. So I chalked the whole thing up to we were only together on weekends. So it would be different now that we're in the same city. Fast forward 4 months later, I snooped through his email and found that he had signed up for another dating site. He said his account was hacked. Fast forward another 9 months after this, and I snooped through his phone, and he had Googled best hookup site. And then he was looking for hookups on Craigslist and Plenty of Fish. I love him so much. Of course you do. The thought of breaking up is so sad. I'd like to mention that he's literally treats me like a queen, and I don't think he's actually cheating because we're together so often. I don't think he could. But I wonder if he's addicted to seeing what else is out there. Should I end this? Please help. Nick, take this away. Be honest, because I think this email requires honesty.
Jessica, if I were to sum up my advice into one word, it would be run. Listen, we've all been there. No judgment. I get where you're coming from. I think your ego is messing with you a little bit. This guy is a terrible human being. She's been with him for a long time. It sounds like he checks a lot of the boxes of things that she wants, and there's probably a lot of great things about the relationship, but she's right now deciding to ignore a lot of the terrible things. And maybe there's a lot of fears of, like, the fear of being single, like the fear of admitting to yourself this is not the perfect relationship that you thought it was. There's some things with your ego in terms of, I don't think he's capable of cheating on me. Of course he's capable of cheating on you. Like everyone is capable of being cheated on. No one's so great or special that someone wouldn't possibly cheat on them. It's happened to the best of us. So I think just it's tough to admit that to yourself. It was a long distance relationship. This guy is aggressively trying to meet other women, and you're just his side girl, to be honest, Jess. You're his comfort. You're his Netflix and chill. You're the girl he gets to go on the dates with and pretend. Like, there's a lot of guys out there who like, I don't get it. It's too much effort why guys will like have a relationship and still like date other women, because it's too hard to make a successful relationship work. But some guys do. And so you're his Netflix and chill person. You're the person who he does relationship things with, and he gets to meet other women. So this is a toxic and terrible situation that you're in that won't last. And if I can give you any final thoughts of hope, is that I can promise you, one thing I know, you won't end up with this guy. You might make a terrible decision, get engaged. You might make an even worse terrible decision and get married. And you might make an even worse terrible decision and like have a family with him. But eventually this relationship will end, hopefully sooner than later. When it does end and time passes, you will look back and be mad at yourself that you weren't more honest with yourself about the reality of the situation, and you will cry and laugh, but most importantly, just be happy he's no longer in your life. That much I can guarantee you.
That was beautiful. That was honest. That was, and I think, Jessica, just to add on the Nick is, listen, to Nick. I mean, I think that's coming from a place where we have this unadulterated view of where this relationship is. We have this view from a very high level based on an email. And what Nick is saying is, don't, you can like and you can love somebody, but when you see the signs like this, especially when they're this deep and dark and they're this consistent, it's time to go, no matter how much it hurts.
So, but also, listen to yourself. Give yourself some credit in the sense that, and this is advice for anyone, at the moment you feel the urge to check someone's messages, emails, texts, or anything, the relationship's over. Because there's a reason why you're doing it. And maybe they're not necessarily doing anything, but there's something toxic about the relationship that's making you do something that that you're better than. So listen to yourself. There's something, a part of you is telling you there's something wrong here. Your ego is telling you that it's not, you know, because your ego doesn't want you to think that you can be in this terrible relationship or be duped by this asshole or guy or just jerk or whatever. But listen to yourself, because there is a part of you that is telling you the telling you the right thing to do. The urge to email and ask these questions. You know the answer, and I think you just have to have the courage and the guts to do the right thing.
Hey, everybody, this has been an incredible podcast. I want to thank Nick for coming in and hanging out with us today. Yes, please. What an awesome opportunity for us on this podcast to have Nick in here to talk about The Bachelor, to break down The Bachelor, because I think, just like Ari did, Nick took this experience very seriously. It was close to his heart, and his life has been affected and because of the show. And so, Nick, thank you for coming in and you're sharing your heart with us and talking about a show that you and I have both participated in. Also, please keep those emails coming. We enjoy them. We need them. I love reading through them. This is a fun segment for us. So email us at BenAndAshley@iHeartMedia.com. I want to thank our sponsors, Sleep Number, Latote, and BioClarity. Finally, Ashley will be back next week, and we'll break down episode 3 of Ari's season, which is actually season 4, episode 3 for this podcast. How crazy. Will we ever leave you alone? I don't think so. I hope we don't. Until then, I've been Ben, and you've been
Nick.
Hey, thanks, everybody.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.